this evening the Feast of the Holy Family, and since all families have room to grow, it seems appropriate that we spend a few moments focusing on the family. In other words, how do we grow healthier families? And to assist us in this process, we'll use the second reading as our framework or our structure, because scripture scholars often refer to this passage as the code or the regulations for households, for families, the code for families, you might call it. The first thing that Paul says in his letter to the church at Colossae is to relate to one another in a Christ-like manner. Now, if you're in a family, you're part of a family, which all of us are, relationships are everything, right? And Paul was really good about giving us illustrations, and he gives us a fantastic illustration here to understand what he's trying to say, and he uses it in other places as well, but it's about taking off the old clothes and putting on the new clothes, taking off the old ways of life and putting on the new ways of life. In other words, the holy virtues, those things which you and I are called to live by, which are extremely important if we want to have healthy relationships. And he lists these five virtues and see if they're not relational. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Those are relational virtues, aren't they? And Paul says, clothe yourself with those things. Put those things on. Now, I know that this tidbit of wisdom is hard for families today. It's very challenging because the focus today in our culture is on what we want. It's on personal preferences. It's on getting what we want. But remember this, in the Christian life, the family mode, you might call it, is about living in humble relationships with each other where their focus is desiring what is best for the family as a whole, not as the individual. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that's not easy to do, to lay yourself aside. Humility is not an easy thing to do, but it is extremely rewarding, and it makes families stronger. The second thing Paul says is to perfect these virtues through love. Once again, going back to his illustration, once you have clothed yourself with the virtues, now you have to bind them together. And he says that the belt or the binding of these clothes, of these virtues in our life, is love. Love is what we bind together. It is love, he says, that perfects gentleness towards your spouse or your siblings. It is love, he writes, that causes you to be a more patient parent. It is love that enables you to honor more fully and obey your parents. And a perfect example of this relationship of love is seen between Joseph and Jesus, and how they showed that love and how Joseph showed that love, in particular when you think that he was Jesus's foster parent. So very interesting thought to think about there. But bind things with love. The third thing, is Paul says, is to be at peace in your heart. Now, if you harbor anger in your life, it's extremely difficult to have healthy relationships, because what anger does is it leads to bitterness, it leads to resentment, and it leads to discouragement. And so we're called to refuse, absolutely refuse, to let anger take root in our hearts and in our lives. Instead, Paul, once again, he gives us the life-producing thing that we need. He says, let the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, let that rule supremely in your hearts. And fortunately, as the children of God, we have help in that area, and we have assistance through the Holy Spirit that lives with us on the inside. So when we are walking with Christ, when we are living in a Christ-like way, the Holy Spirit living within us binds us to God and into our family relationships in ways that would otherwise be impossible. It's God's grace and it's God's love to you. The fourth thing that Paul says, if you want to have a healthier family, is to give thanks. You might wonder what that has to do with healthy families. But you know what? Paul thought it was so important that he mentions it twice. He says it twice. And here's why. thankfulness is a theme. It is a way that is associated with gratitude. And gratitude for what God has done for you personally in your own life. And when you're grateful, when you're thankful for what God has done and for what God is doing in your life, then that sense of humility begins to show in your life. And you begin to respect people more fully. You begin to treat them more fully with those beautiful virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So think about that and think about how that you can be more grateful in your family for what God has given you and to grow in that. The fifth thing he says is to feast upon the Word of God. God's Word is so important. It's so important in the Mass, isn't it? We read it. We've read several different passages in Scriptures because it's God speaking to us. The Word of God reveals to us who God is. It reveals His nature, who He is like. And then it also helps us to understand how we are to live. How do we go about living in this life in relation to God and relation to others, particularly our families? And a beautiful example we have today of family guidelines in the first reading of Sirach. What does Sirach say? He invites us to honor and respect our father and our mother. He also says we should not scream or we should not grieve our parents, but we should be considerate of them. And we are also encouraged, I think this is very interesting as we think about the detail of living a holy life, we're also encouraged to be patient with the elderly in our families, particularly, he says, when their mind begins to fail. See, the point is this. The seniors in our families are not to be judged based upon their functionality, what they can do, but their great worth, what they possess, by being created as a person in the image and likeness of God. Isn't that beautiful how that we see this wonderful instruction? And when we live out this instruction, we find peace and joy and happiness. The sixth thing that Paul says is to believe that God will work out family problems to the best possible good. Now, I'd be willing to bet everyone here has family problems. There's some kind of problem that you have in your family. Probably do. I mean, Mary and Joseph and Jesus did. If they face difficulties, surely we face a few difficulties ourselves. We all have problems, but we don't have to stop there because God will help us to work through those problems and bring out the best possible good. And we see that in the gospel reading today. The angel told Joseph to get up and flee to Egypt because there was the king at that time, King Herod. He was a ruthless man, and he tremendously persecuted and killed the Jewish people. And so they flee. They're literally political refugees is what they are. They flee from Israel into Egypt. And then when the king dies, the angel says it's time to go back. But as they're going back, they wanted to settle in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. But they were not able to do that. There was that obstacle of the persecution of the leadership, because what had happened is the king's son had taken over the rule and reign of the area. And so, once again, it's a bad situation. It's a difficult situation, but God uses it to the best. And what he does is he leads them into the land of Galilee, the region of Galilee, into a small town called Nazareth. Now, what's so good? How's God using that in a good way? Well, here's how he does it. It's a bad situation, but God uses it for the good because he, through that, he allows Jesus to live in obscurity in life so that he can live without the fear of death hanging over him and his family. See, always remember this. This is very important. No matter what the situation may be in your family, and they are varied, and they are many, and they are complicated, if we claim the scripture in Romans 8, we will know that God will work in that situation to bring out the most possible good from it. Always he'll do that. The final thing is to give Jesus your whole life. And this little tidbit of wisdom is the one that unlocks, it's the key that unlocks everything that we've talked about. Paul says literally, he says, whatever you do, whether it be in action or whether it be in word, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it in his name, because you are one of his disciples. You are one of his followers. So we identify with Jesus. So that brings up a good point. Let me ask you this. It would be good if we asked ourselves often how we would treat our spouse, our children, our parents, if we knew that Jesus was standing right here. Do you think it would make a difference? Would it make a difference? I think that's a good question. Now, I know that sounds trite, it sounds simple, but it's extremely true. We belong to the Lord, and everything we do, we are called to do in the name of Jesus. And we honor our Lord by serving God and others only as he would have us to do, meaning practicing those wonderful virtues and putting them together with love. I'd like to leave you with one thought for reflection this evening. First of all, commit yourself anew to your family. And before this day is out, you've got a little time left. Before this day is out, do something simple yet kind and loving for those in your family. They will appreciate it. The second thing is this. Maybe you're at a difficult point within your family. Maybe some of the Christmas gatherings we had just a few days ago have left you on edge. You know, families get together, we'll do that. That happens, doesn't it? It happens probably in most all of them. So what are we to do? How do we deal with that? How do we let that go? Well, here's what you do. You start where you are, you do what you can, and you trust God with the rest. If there's one thing that we can learn from Christmas, it is what the angel proclaimed when he said, "With God, nothing is impossible." God bless all of you.